Wow, I just went blank. My name is Stan, and I am an alcoholic. Wow. It's a big room. All you young people out there, what a great sight. Lindsay, I love your accent. You're a great secretary. You know, some people can come up here and just say hello like Roger, and everybody laughs. You know, that ain't me. But my name's Stan, and I'm an alcoholic, and the way it goes, I guess, is what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. This one's for Roger. I'm from Kentucky. Nah, I'll be honest. I grew up in New York. I was born in Brooklyn. Gee, laughs. Roger, that ain't funny. No. Anyway, I was born in Brooklyn. Grew up in New York. Boy, somebody said drug dealers. I mean, but yeah, that's great. Everybody that picked up a chip tonight, congratulations. That's really something. Anyway, I got sober. I got sober a whole bunch of times. But it took a real long time before I was convinced I was an alcoholic. You know, and for me, bottom line was I had to be ready. You know, I wasn't done until I was done. I grew up in Queens, not far from a beach, and you know, when I was young, I had everything going for me. I had two parents that, you know, they fought an awful lot. That's one thing I remember, and I used to hate the conflict, but you know, and I heard it said in these rooms all the time how people, they didn't feel like they belonged. They always felt out of place. That was me. I was never comfortable in my own skin. I was always looking to fill a void, and I don't even know where this is coming from, but I guess it's coming from, you know, what really happened. And I found that one of those things I used to fill my voids was, I loved excitement. It was adrenaline rushes, you know. From a very early age, I used to do crazy things just for the excitement. I remember being a little kid and hanging out and, you know, somebody would, hey, you know, let's throw rocks at that house. And we'd break the windows just to do it, you know, just to be troublemakers, you know. Not really looking to hurt anybody, but always being destructive. Growing up was like that. I was always getting in trouble, but always getting away with it. I moved from Queens to Long Island, South Shore, Long Island. After I graduated junior high school, that was ninth grade. I know it's different down here, but. And my parents figured they'd move us out of the city into a nice suburban neighborhood. Wow, what a surprise. Because the neighborhood I moved into wasn't a nice neighborhood. There was high school I went to, there was a lot of rioting going on, a lot of racial stuff, and. Boy, I felt right at home, you know. You know, my first drink, I think I was probably in like seventh grade. This is the first drink I remember, and I got drunk. A friend of mine was 16, and he was able to buy booze, and he bought me a bottle of vodka. I don't know if it was a pint or a half a pint. But it was a school day, and after school, we went to the store, and I just remember drinking the whole thing. And boy, did I get sick. I think my mom found me in the bathroom when she got home. I just remember waking up the next morning, and I was like, didn't want to move. And my mom said, you're going to school. I don't care how you feel. So I swore that was the last time I was going to drink. Not. You know? Anyway, high school was a party. And I started drinking and using drugs in the ninth grade on a daily basis. Actually, not ninth grade, 10th grade. Let me get it straight. High school, I started on Long Island in 10th grade. And I was also athletic. I was on a gymnastics team. I figured it'd be a way to meet people because I was really, really shy. I was not outgoing at all. And I had a real hard time introducing myself to people and making friends. But that came, and Noah got a lot of time, and I got a lot of years, so I'm going to just try to tell it like it was. In 1973, you know, it was like, I don't remember too much of what happened that summer. But when I went back to school, it was like the girls, the drugs, the cars, everything came alive for me. I remember every day was a party. We'd start out before school in the park. There was a park right by my school. We called it the Duck Pond, and we always met up at the park, and it started right there. And 1974, I was in 12th grade. I had second period was a study hall. And me and this buddy of mine used to cut out of school after first period and go to his dad's and drink the whiskey in his father's cabinet. And I remember one day I get back to school. My third period was calculus. And I was always high in that class. And one day I was wasted, and I sit down, and the teacher says, there's a test today. And he puts a test on my desk in front of me, and I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing double. I can't even read it. But he said, do the best you can. I passed that class. They say alcoholics aren't stupid. I managed to get by. So I graduated high school, and I was heading to college. And, I learned one thing in high school that, you were talking about drug dealers, I guess I had one of those. I was considered one of the man. I learned that if you buy a $20 bag, you could sell 8 nickels. That's 40 bucks, do the math. That went a long way. I always found ways to make money. And I always had money. And when I got out of high school, and I went to college. College was a party. I remember starting out strong, going to all my classes and doing the work. And it'd be, a couple of weeks into the semester. Let's go out to lunch. A couple of beers, maybe a couple of six-packs. After a couple of weeks of that, I wasn't going to any of my classes in the afternoon. Ended up dropping classes. Bottom line is, I didn't finish college that year. I was, by my third semester, I ended up dropping out. And that was the first time I felt like a failure. I don't know what to say other than I knew how to make money, and the thought was, what do I need school for anyway, I remember when I was a kid growing up, and, my family wasn't the straight and narrow, things would fall off trucks, and they'd get sold, and it was like, I learned a way of life that was not all, not always legal, and I took advantage of it. And somebody called me a gangster once, and I was, yeah, that's cool. always wanted to be cool. And that's kind of where I was heading, you know, and it, you know, I thought I was having fun. All the times that I got into fights and got busted and ended up in jail and paid a lawyer, and usually a good one, and walked away, it was like, yeah, you know, got away with another one. There were a lot of consequences, and there was a lot of consequences that I, a lot of things happened that I got away with. After high school and college that I didn't finish, I ended up, I guess it was like 1975, 1976, I moved out of my parents' house. I'm skipping a few things, but I ended up moving in with this guy about... it was one of those houses that, you know, the door was always open. People were in and out all hours of the day, all hours of the night. There was always a lot of cash and a lot of partying going on. And in 1978, after, I don't know, a weekend or whatever, a party, and we were out back playing with some guns, shooting some guns, and it was in an industrial park area, and usually nobody ever paid attention, but somebody called the cops this one time, and I had just left right before they got there, and the house was raided. And I ended up with a secret indictment against me. I started out, you know, I had places to go. So I started out with a choice. This is where I had a choice. Either I was given the opportunity to go on the lam, they were going to set me up in Pennsylvania, a new identity, and I'd be on the run for the rest of my life, or turn myself in. I turned myself in. I ended up with a one-to-life sentence, and I was taken care of by the New York State Correctional Facility for a year, and a little over a year. So my life wasn't going so great, and I didn't see that my disease and my lifestyle was causing me all of this chaos, because that's what it was. It was chaos. It was, you know, I was never happy. I was pretty miserable my whole life, and now I know why. I had untreated alcoholism. Anyway, I got out of jail in beginning in 1980. Actually, it was St. Paddy's Day, 1980. My day they set me free, so St. Patrick's Day was always a party, you know. And I remember that night with my brother. I got a brother and a sister. My sister's a couple of years older. My brother's 2 years younger. We got a bottle of Jack Daniels and who knows whatever else, and, you know, that started the night, and then we went out. And our nights usually lasted the whole weekend, you know. You'd go out Thursday or Friday and come home Sunday. I remember many a nights walking out of after-hours joints, you know, and the sun hitting you in the face, and it's, oh, man, where's the sunglasses? Because, you know, let's go to the beach, that kind of thing. Things didn't get any easier, and they didn't get any better, and I thought that this... You know, it was life. This was the lifestyle I chose, and I was miserable. Anyway, I got out of jail. While I was there, I worked out every day. I fell in with a couple of people, and you know, my time was pretty easy. And when I got out, I was 180 pounds, built like, you know, solid as a rock. And things came. I actually felt pretty good about myself. I had self-esteem at the time. You know, I get a whole year of living sober, even though it wasn't by my choice. It did a lot for me. I grew up a little bit that year. Anyway, I was dating a lot of women, and one of them decided that she wanted to get married. It was like, you know. And it was a girl that I really, really liked. I guess it was the first girl I ever fell in love with. And this is, she gave me the choice, you know, it's them or me. I ended up getting married. But it was, I was like end of 80. We ended up getting married in 1982, but I was supposed to get married June 1st, 1982, and we went out the night before. You got it, I didn't make it. I ended up in a high-speed boat accident and ended up in the hospital, and they didn't think I was going to make it through the night. I believe today the only thing that saved my life was I was in great physical shape at the time. 50 miles an hour, I was sitting in the passenger seat, and that boat hit an ice piling in front of a bridge, and that thing didn't move. And the dashboard was not very forgiving. I had a lot of broken bones, collapsed lungs, broken jaw. I think about it today, and it's scary, you know. It was something. But 10 days later, after that accident, I did walk out of that hospital, or maybe limped. Ended up getting married a couple of months later. It was in the middle of August, I guess. I think it was August. Sometime in August we got married. And I had, the doctors gave me anything I asked for. And, before I went into jail, I believe jail saved my life too, because I was addicted to a lot of substances, and I was abusing them on a daily basis. And by getting off the street, it might have saved my life that time. Anyway, when I got out of the hospital, I'm going to go back just a little bit. Before I went to jail, I knew I had a problem with drugs and substances. I was a stone cold junkie, and I figured as long as I never put a needle in my arm, I'd be okay. And I kind of stuck to that. But as long as I kept drinking and a few other substances, I was never okay. So that first marriage started out really good. New York State put me through school. I ended up learning a little bit about electronics. My wife had a good job. I bought a condo on the water. So we got a waterfront place, two cars, a boat. I mean, everything I wanted. We were going on vacations a couple of times a year. And I was miserable. You know, I had the world by the balls, and I was miserable. And 2 years after that, me and my first wife split up because, you know, today I know it, that she watched a guy of stature. I went from 180 pounds to 140, you know, stone cold junkie that I was, And that was probably hard for her, and I could see it now, where at the time I was probably pretty resentful and pissed off that, you know, that we were getting, that she was leaving, basically, that it was over. And in 1986, I was at a bottom. I was really miserable. I was going nowheres. I was feeling pretty damn crappy about my life. And I knew I needed to do something about it, but I didn't know what was wrong with me. You know? Like I said, before that, I thought as long as I never put a needle in my arm, I'd be okay, but I wasn't okay. I was... I ended up putting a needle in my arm again, and I ended up addicted to heroin and cocaine, and in 1986, I went into a detox. I ended up in a rehab. And while